Welcome to the Eastman Dental Podcast, where we hope to inspire, motivate, and provide education from our guests' experience.
Well, that was really fascinating hearing about a periodontal patient.
Yeah, Linda's been on a real oral health journey from primary care. She's been treated by students, and now she's obviously in a place with a hygienist that she's very happy with. And it was great to hear her perspective on things.
And has clearly learned an enormous amount on that journey.
And I think these are tips that can be shared with anybody. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear.
So sit back, listen, and enjoy this episode.
With your hosts, Josh Hudson and Julia Bruin.
So Linda, welcome to the Eastman Dental Podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
And before we get fully into this episode, we always like to get a feel for our guests and find out a little bit about them. So I was just wondering if you could let us know, what kind of patient are you? Give us a little bit of background.
I think I'm a lively patient.
Okay.
I'm 69 years of age. I'm of mixed race. My dad was Nigerian, mum's English. I'm a mum. I'm a grandma and a retired teacher.
Interesting. That fits in with what we do, Julia.
Yeah.
I'm sure you see the teaching elements in the dental treatment that you've had, but I'm sure you're probably much better at it than we maybe are.
Don't know about that.
So just to follow on from that, what sort of childhood experiences did you have at going to the dentist?
Not bad, really. I grew up in Nigeria, and I remember several visits to the dentist. I don't think there was anything major. Had a few fillings. I do remember having a few injections, and I hate injections. And since then, being over here, I've had to have quite a few, but, you know, it's par for the course, so I don't like injections, but I'm grateful they're there for, you know, the sort of treatments I've needed as a result of them.
So tell us a little bit more about that. So you say you've had this treatment. At what point did you realise that it was maybe more than kind of simple fillings and things were a little bit more involved in terms of your dental treatment?
I suppose having to think about my experiences in general before today, about probably 30 years ago, being quite shocked when I was told I had gum disease. But I was also told that many people have gum disease. And I could tell the difference, you know, well, because it was pointed out, I could see, you know, what my gums look like. And, you know, as a result of that, then over the years, yeah, I just feel the state of my mouth has really declined in terms of more fillings, root canal treatments, inflamed gums. There was one tooth that I was so aware that, you know, I was suffering with receding, a receding gum line in the area. And then one day, my dentist said, you know, that I might benefit from seeing a hygienist. From then, he said that he could also refer me to a teaching hospital for starters if I wanted. And I was referred. And I was grateful for it because at that time I knew that as an individual, I'm a lazy cleaner in terms of my teeth. Very rarely cleaned my teeth at night. And through being referred to King's, it opened up the next stage in getting my mouth sorted.
So you got sent to a dental hospital to be treated by students. And how was that sort of process? Was that something that you were fully aware of?
In terms of dental hygiene and how it could make a difference, I wasn't certain what would be involved and how different it would be from seeing a dentist, to be honest. I just thought, wow, if my dentist is recommending I see a hygienist, then maybe it could make, it could stop me losing my teeth. I think that was the bottom line. I was getting older. I didn't want to lose more than the two teeth I'd already lost. And so I was absolutely open to the idea. My experience once I started at King's was very good. I felt I was really well informed and I could ask questions. I was given obviously advice, when I went home, what I needed to start doing. It was a positive experience.
How did you feel initially when, I know you said that you're kind of aware that maybe your mouth wasn't in as good a state as you wanted it to be, but how did you feel when that was first kind of explained to you? And what was it about that conversation that made you kind of understand exactly what was happening? Was there anything specific that helped you understand the situation better?
Once I started the treatment, I think being made aware that there were things like pockets and the significance of bleeding, the frequency of bleeding in my gums, and the fact that they really felt that I needed treatment beyond what my dentist could offer. I was grateful. I was open to it. I think that's something that's really important, that, you need to realize that that is what you want and need. And then you're in a positive frame of mind to take on the advice, because it's a partnership. And, it would be one thing to just have turned up at King's and they do their little bit, I'm sent home with a few notes, and then turn up, the following week or in a couple of weeks' time without really doing my bit. I think that is, being committed and engaging with the process, it is vital. It's.
And do you think there was anything that particularly something or someone who helped you confirm your decision on going down that path, or was it really you making that decision?
I think, again, it was a bit of both. It was the dentist feeling from, I think, the number of times he was seeing me chronic pain in certain areas of my mouth, and me being grateful that, possibly if I was advised on what I could do better, it could stop the rot, as it were.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. I think you saying that a key part of that was your willingness to go on that journey. What was it that made you willing? Was there anything specific that you could say, that's the reason why I was motivated to play my part in that journey? Because we see patients and it's difficult to know where people are on that scale of being interested and not interested, essentially. So I'm just interested if there's anything specific. Was it the information that you were given? Was it how you were feeling? Or what specifically got you to that point where you were like, I'm now motivated to make a difference?
Just because I didn't want the state of my mouth to get worse. I could see that everything wasn't right. I could feel it from pain I had, the number of root canal treatments. And one of them, my dentist had attempted to sort out twice and just felt he actually couldn't do any more and I needed to be referred on to more of a specialist in that area. And I think, you know, that combination of things, you know, made me feel that, yes, I'm willing to take this on. I want to make a difference. I know from my dentist saying, one of the most important pieces of information, that nighttime cleaning is the biggie, you know, is really vital. And it was something that I wasn't doing, or I rarely did. But I just felt, look, whatever I need to do to stop me losing my teeth, I'm going to do it. So
having that kind of tangible endpoint of stability,
yes,
essentially.
Yes.
And working towards that.
Yeah. And I suppose if I, you know, I was also experiencing pain. Mm. Because there could be some people who, you know, they're told about the state of their mouths, but they're not, you know, they don't see it as that serious. Mm. And so I suppose for people like that, then maybe they'd need to lose a few more teeth before, okay, you know.
Yeah.
They,
yeah, motivation can come in lots of different, sure, guises, mm, can't it? So you get referred to a dental hospital. They then presumably tell you that you are then in for a course of treatment, which you are not paying for, but you are fully aware of what's going on. You were given a written treatment plan and you knew what was going on. Did you feel prepared for those sorts of things?
Yes, I think I did. I think, you know, similar to my dentist always letting me know what he's going to do and, you know, what it involves, I did feel I was well informed. I had information beforehand. The students, you know, made it clear what was going to take place on the day. I did feel they were also well supervised. And that was important for me to, you know, to see that someone else was coming in to check, to ask questions, to demonstrate. I was very pleased with the experience I had.
And I think it's really important. You got to the end of, well, presumably you got to the end of that course of treatment and they were kind of happy. They said, look, we've got you to this point. But that obviously wasn't the end of the journey, but the end of the journey in the hospital, because they obviously can't see everybody forever. So what was the next steps for you from there? How did you maintain that going forward?
I think from a conversation with my dentist, I felt I did want to look into seeing a hygienist. In my mind, I suppose I thought, well, you know, I've started this journey. You know, my mouth isn't 100%. Let me see, you know, what more a hygienist can do. I did a little bit of research myself, phoned up a few places, and there was this a chance encounter after a visit one day to the Royal Free, because I'd had a few x-rays on my gums and they just wanted to investigate it further, and that turned out not to be anything sinister. But on the particular occasion, I came out of the Royal Free, and of course there are wonderful cafes all around, and I wanted to treat myself, and I ended up going into a cafe that I really didn't want to go into because I didn't like the setup, but I sat down. It was on at a long table, and a lady came and sat down opposite me, and we started to chat. And I guess I must have ended up telling her my life story because from that, she said she knew of a hygienist, a very good hygienist, who she'd known, her husband and herself had known for some years. And the fact that, you know, someone was recommended, I thought, okay, this is great. So she gave me the details, and it was great to make that contact and make my first, you know, appointment with her. And so that was my journey of and it still is, of having a hygienist in my life, for which I am very grateful.
So you've had treatment from a student, you've had treatment from a dentist, a hygienist, and perhaps in your experiences had treatment from other dental professionals, perhaps without necessarily knowing their full roles that these team players do. Did you have any preconceived ideas, for example, when you went to see a hygienist about what that person was going to be doing for you?
Not really. Just, I must have been intrigued to find out what the difference in role between a hygienist and the dentist would be. Because I think in the back of my head, it was the wealthy could afford hygienists. And so, you know, even when I mentioned it to family and friends, I thought they must think, ooh, you know, you're seeing a hygienist, you know, can you afford, you know, you obviously can afford it. But for me, yes, it is, you know, listed in my, you know, in my book of expenses, but it's worth every penny, because the difference it's made to me is I've got a healthy mouth now, which I didn't have before. And, you know, your mouth is obviously, you know, part of your whole body. And so, you know, having a healthy mouth just means generally your well-being is improved. And the fact that I see my hygienist 3 times a year, it used to be 4, that's what I wanted, but I have done so well. The state of my mouth has improved so much that my hygienist advised reducing the number of times I see her. And it's just, yeah, it's just something that I think for me, I just want in my life for always, because my hygienist keeps tabs on me, basically. In between times, I know what I need to do. I've got a regime. And considering, you know, I used to be a lazy cleaner, you know, I have a regime night and morning now. I have to say, my partner's in the background, but, you know, he hates it when I beat him to the bathroom at night, because it just means I'm in there for for at least, what, 10, 15 minutes?
I'm sure this motivates him. I mean, all of our listeners will be saying, you know, lead by example, Linda, and you will be able to be making him do these things differently.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. He's just not in a good mood by the time I get out of the bathroom. But the thing, you know, the wonderful thing is I'm seeing results, so I'm happy to do it. It's become a habit. And I just feel, you know, as much as I could reduce the number of times I see my hygienist, once I go, she does the job she has to do. I may or may not leave with homework. If I have homework, I'm grateful for it, because it means that, you know, an area of my mouth has been picked up, you know, on, and I can deal with it. So I honestly can say that if, you know, if push comes to shove, I think with seeing a hygienist, depending on the state of your mouth or your concerns, it's an investment. And yeah, for me, there's no turning back. Yeah, I'm happy and I'm very grateful.
Well, it's a classic thing. Prevention's
absolutely
better than cure.
Absolutely.
And I think as dental professionals, obviously, we're spending all day, every day, surrounded by this stuff. We become very desensitized to things, and we have knowledge, and we sometimes maybe assume everybody has knowledge, and obviously they don't. So what specific tips or advice or little things did you pick up on in that journey that maybe you didn't know before that have now enabled you to maintain things a little bit better? Was there specific things that you were told that you went, oh, that makes sense, and obviously started implementing that?
Well, I guess, not I guess, I know, cleaning my teeth regularly at night, using teepee brushes. Oh, I have such an amazing relationship with teepee brushes. You know, the fact that I actually use three different sizes of teepee brushes because of the gaps, the different sizes of gaps I have in between my teeth. And I just, yeah, part of my routine involves, I know, I wanted to
list wanted to them. Get this in, didn't you? We're going to have to let you.
So I start off with the teepee brushes in between all my gaps. And again, you know, the beauty of learning from a process, the fact that, you know, once I started with my hygienist, we then decided to, on her recommendation, try also using the teepee brushes from the inside, which I didn't used to do before. And just so that I could get the state of my mouth in an even better place. And it worked. And so I do that. I then use a pointy brush just to go over the areas between my gums, front and back, top and bottom, especially at the backs of the teeth. Then there's my electric toothbrush. At the end of the cleaning of my teeth, I spit, but I don't rinse. That I got from King's. And now I'm very aware that my young grandsons at primary school are being advised to spit and not rinse. So, you know, I'm a happy tooth bunny.
So clearly you are a very happy dental bunny there with all of your routine.
So Linda, as part of the treatment that we end up doing, there's a lot of information that we end up gathering. We shout out a load of numbers, we take x-rays, and that's not something that you would inherently know about. How does all of that information play into your experience as a patient?
I think I've been very grateful with the information that's been, with the level of information that's been communicated to me, from sort of being talked through x-rays and being given certain facts based on research that just makes things more real to me. For example, not that I can remember the nitty-gritty of the details, but it was just so interesting when I was told by my hygienist that research had shown that I think bacteria or negative effects of bacteria in the mouth can start to take a hold after the period of 3 months if, you know, you don't take care. So back to, you know, the word partnership that I've used before, I think with the dental professional sort of feeling, realizing how important it is to share it with their patients without using, you know, jargon that might go above their heads. Mm. It is something that, you know, certainly from myself as a patient has been very much appreciated.
I think that goes back to what we were saying before about having a motivated patient. And it sounds like from what you're saying, having an informed patient, having that information that makes it real and relevant to you, I guess helps make that motivated patient. If you don't understand what's going on, how are you going to be motivated to make a change?
Very true. And sort of, you know, yeah, being told, you know, how many pockets are bleeding, for example, on this occasion. And then the next time with, you know, the homework that I've done, being told that, you know, on this occasion, it's you know, I've got far less pockets, you know, just making that progress real as well. And what it means, it's not always a disaster because, you know, you've got a little bit of bleeding. It's just putting everything into perspective. So, yeah, I've definitely been grateful for that.
It's interesting to hear about your dental journey, Linda. And I think that we're always energised by hearing enthusiastic patients and realising that we're saying and doing the right things. But I think I'd be interested to know if there's anything that you would change in your dental life if you had your time again.
That, I feel, is an easy one. For me, especially being told all those years ago about, you know, the fact that I had gum disease, it would be seeing a hygienist much earlier, to have put in place things like, you know, how important it was for me to clean my teeth at night, the TP brushes, the checks. So, yeah, that is what I would change.
I think in our heads, we like to think that we know what our patients like about coming to see us, or the things that they need to do at home, or things that they don't like. But from your experience, what are your likes and dislikes from a dental perspective?
My general experience is that you guys are very good at being aware and being empathetic about how we might feel about, you know, the various processes. And no, I don't like the picking and prodding and cleaning and, you know, the water flushing at the end. But, you know, I'm ready for it. So, you know, and again, because I can see the results, I know the results, I know the difference it makes. It just makes it easier to accept anyway. But I still do appreciate, you know, I know whether it was with my dentist or with my hygienist, just them saying at the start, yeah, you're probably not going to like this. Because I think before starting with my hygienist, I'd never had the water flushing at the end. And so, you know, it's helpful when I'm told, you know, that it might not be a pleasant experience.
Yeah, being informed.
Yeah. And in terms of what I like, I think I've just mentioned one of them. It is being informed, feeling the person on the other side is empathetic, is kind, understanding. I can ask questions. I feel listened to. And a lot of the time, you know, we can have a laugh. I mean, obviously, I think it also depends on the patient, doesn't it? You know, some people don't want to necessarily have a laugh in those situations. But I just think I have been lucky.
So you've described your journey and your experiences. And of course, this podcast is there for potential dental professionals to listen to and learn from. But, you know, there's going to be the odd patient that's going to listen to this. Or perhaps there might be more than the odd patient. Perhaps we might get lots more patients of ours listening to these particular podcast episodes. What I'm interested to know is what sort of advice that you would give to a patient who's about to embark on a similar journey to you, because I think we can all learn from each other's experience. We can try and think how we might phrase it to patients, but I think there is a joy of a patient telling another patient what to expect. So what sort of advice would you give?
Again, I think as long as they need to be confident about what they want and what is necessary for them to achieve it. I think at my stage of committing to seeing a hygienist, having further treatment, it was because I wanted things to change. I wanted to be healthier. So it's being clear. And if someone suggests something to you, as my dentist did, and you're not too sure, ask the questions, you know. Hopefully you're not in a situation where you feel intimidated by the professional and you feel you have to go along with it. You know, it's your mouth. You've got, you know, you have the right to be very clear about, you know, what's going to happen. So I think, you know, being clear, being confident, and also being willing to do your bit. It can't be a one-way street. You can't just expect the professional to do all the work. You go away, do nothing, and everything will be all right because you're going to see them again the next time. It can't work that way if you want results, you know, if you want progress. So I think, yeah, being committed to do your best, you know, yeah, there's still times when, when very rarely, I don't clean my teeth at night, but it is very rare, you know. And the amazing thing now is I really can tell the difference. So if I do miss a night in the morning, I am so sorry that I did it, because I just can feel the difference in my mouth in the morning. So
yeah, that's good advice for people,
aren't
there?
Really useful advice. And I guess on the flip side of that, this is an opportunity for the dental professionals listening as well. So if you're going to give a message out from a patient perspective to all dental professionals, dentists, hygienists, you know, whoever, what message would you want to put out there to them?
Yes, you're the professional. You're the one who, you know, hopefully has the answers to start this positive journey. But your patient, you want a happy patient. You want the patient to feel welcomed. You want the patient to feel that a lot of things that I've already said, listened to. You want to sort of you feel that you want them to feel supported, and also understood, you know, in terms of what they're going to experience. So, as you know, I gave the example that I'm often warned of, that it might be painful, it might be uncomfortable. The hygienist is going to have another little poke and prod, is going to go around again, you know, because they just want to make sure. It's continuing that conversation, yeah.
And being conscious of that.
Definitely.
Because, yeah, like I said before, we get desensitized to things you see in patients all day, every day. You've got to take a step back and remember that this is an experience for that person. It might be a small part of your day, but it's the dental journey of that person. That might be the only contact that they have that year. And it's important that you make it count. And all the things that you just said there are important things that need to be considered.
Yes. And what I was going to say is, again, back to the partnership, what I'd like to add for patients is if you experience pain, for example, say it if you feel that the professional maybe is unaware. You know, even if you're a bit of a timid personality, you know, if you don't mention that you're feeling uncomfortable possibly, or, you know, something hurt, that professional may not know. So in that respect, it's a two-way street. I mean, it might be a pain that you've already been warned that will happen, but if you feel you want to say something, do. And hopefully the professional would have set the stage that you feel comfortable enough to say it.
I think that's a really good bit of advice, because, you know, we like to think that we've got one eye on what we're doing and one eye on the treatment. One eye on the treatment and one eye on the patient. But some people are really very good at acting. And so you actually have no idea that underneath all of that, people are in pain, distressed, whatever words we're going to use. So I think your advice about telling people, even if they've been forewarned that it might be a bit uncomfortable, it's actually just quite reassuring to just get that simplicity of that message across. So that's very helpful. Thank you, Linda. You've seen a whole raft of different people, haven't you? We've talked about your journey over the many years of you having dental treatment. So do you think there's any single bit of advice that you've been given on that journey that has really stuck with you? And can you remember who gave it to you? You don't have to necessarily give names.
I think I probably referred to it earlier. That is, you know, my dentist making it clear how important the nighttime cleaning of teeth is, and hygienists making me more aware of how valuable, or invaluable, I should say, using TP brushes are.
Clearly, there are lots of other manufacturers that produce these brushes.
Of course.
This isn't a particular shout out to any particular one company, but...
And can I say, I'm so glad you've mentioned that, actually, because in my journey, as much as I'm saying that, what I've used, I've tried, and I think this is important, a variety of manufacturers, because we all have different mouths. And I have used at least three different brands. And there was one brand that I kept coming back to. But again, I've now changed. So, because your mouth changes. So on that point, don't be afraid to, you know, research.
So we've talked about your experiences up until this point, but what does the future hold, do you think, for your dental care?
Again, that's really easy for me. Keeping up my cleaning regime, seeing my dentist every 6 months, seeing my hygienist 3 times a year.
That simple.
Yeah, because, you know, if I keep this up, I'm not going to lose any more teeth. You know, the dentist, the hygienist will get in before anything starts to slide. I mean, that is the reality. I look at my teeth, honest to goodness, when I look in the mirror, you know, while I'm doing my, you know, umpteen bits and pieces in the, you know, morning or night, and I know the difference, you know, in my gums, you know, then they aren't puffy anymore. They're not tender, you know, most of the time. Sometimes they might be for whatever reason, but it'll be sorted. It's, you know, So it's definitely worth it. And if you were going to ask me if I wanted to add anything, what I'd like to say, I'm not sure, really, the NHS, where hygienists come in exactly, apart from my experience, obviously, with King's. But I would imagine, because certainly I had a year's wait before I was seen by King's, and And I did have to chase it up, you know, because, you know, and I totally understand. But I think in an ideal world, if necessary, everyone should have an access to a hygienist. But I'm thinking maybe some of the amazing things that I've learnt along the way might be able to be just automatically incorporated into, you know, the times you see a dentist. So that it means that they get seen earlier rather than later. But I mean, maybe, you know, because of the state of things in the NHS, it's not that easy. I appreciate that. But yeah, it's something I would highly recommend if it's something you need. And it's something worth, you know, putting the pennies aside to, even if it's just, you know, you have your first visit and, you know, you come away with things you can do to make the difference.
Thank you so much, Linda, for coming on the podcast. It's been really lovely to hear your story and share your experiences.
Yeah, thank you. You're very welcome. Thanks for sharing your journey.
Thank you.
If you've been inspired by that episode, did you know that the Eastman Dental Hospital Education Centre provide training for the whole dental team? Follow us on social media or search for the Eastman Dental Hospital Education Centre to find out more.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. We would love to hear your suggestions for future guests. Remember to follow us on social media using hashtag the Eastman Dental Podcast. And if you like what you hear, please like, share, subscribe and listen out for future episodes.